You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today we are joined by Hannah Kohlberg, known as the Bean Queen. Along with her father, she has built the Better Bean Company up from farmers markets to national distribution. Better Bean makes fresh, ready-to-eat beans that are sold and refrigerated in a format similar to fresh hummus. Today we will hear about building a natural food company. Hannah, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here as well.
Well, thank you. So why did you decide to start a bean company of all things?
Right. Well, the first thing I just want to mention to everyone who's thinking about starting a company is my father listened to his intuition. He actually asked himself while on a walk, how can I contribute to society? And the very first thing that came to his mind were, well, everyone really likes my beans. This is actually a family recipe that I grew up eating. He developed it when he was in college. And he has had several different businesses. We as a family had a clothing store, so we knew how to run a business together. The hard work, the long hours that go in, and the family, the change in the family dynamic. But we were really looking to make an impact. But beyond that, you can't just move on an intuition. So we really researched the market. And we looked around and we thought, you know what? No one else is doing fresh beans. Not only is this a need of our family to eat delicious fresh beans regularly, we didn't like the canned bean option, and it took a long time to cook up a pot of beans. We noticed there was nothing else out there on the market. My dad not only took this, took our local market as a case study, but went to trade shows in the natural food industry to see what other companies were putting out there and spoke with buyers. He really got a proof of concept before he moved forward with his business. And another thing I'll say to, people who are thinking about starting up a company, this was maybe his fifth business plan. We were, talking about opening a restaurant. We had, the clothing store imported dresses from South America. We thought about doing something with music. And so you can't get too stuck with one idea, but there's some deep, deep feeling, your deep intuition that comes up when you know you have struck it right. And really, again, analyze the market. Are you making a Me Too product, or are you making something new? And beans? We saw that there was a wide open market for fresh, ready-to-eat beans, so we went with it.
You got to love this. You really got to love this. Now, what were some key insights? What were some key insights and decision points in your business?
First of all, I want to mention the four P's, basically price, placement, what your product is, and your promotion strategies. And I want to focus on placement and pricing. We did actually think about freezing our product. And then we thought, well, you know what? Everyone's shopping the perimeter of the grocery store. We want to be part of that movement. Our beans were naturally vegan, but we could have very easily added chicken broth or used lard to refry our beans. A lot of people early on when we were at just the farmers markets really collecting feedback from our initial customers said, why aren't, put some chicken broth in this. But we also saw the trends and movement towards healthy eating and for allergen-free foods. So better beans are free of the top 8 allergens and really, answer a lot of unmet needs that are out there. This price point study that we've done was really important. And so what we went to a big event and asked hundreds of people these four questions. Price. Would you consider this, at what price would you consider this product too expensive? At what price would you consider this product too inexpensive? At what price would it be so expensive that you would not buy it? And then what price would you consider so inexpensive that it would, question the quality? And so you get these different answers and you plot it in a Y-X axis. And we found out that our ideal price point was $3.99. for 14 ounces. We also did a size study at that same time. And at that time, we were out in 12-ounce tubs for $4.75 container. And so we're like, uh-oh, we need to make a change here. And so we worked on growing some efficiencies on our production end so that we could really get our price point down. But we also took a hit to our gross margin. And what we saw was when we had our price point at $3.99 or right around $4, that our sales increased. And so while you do want to pay attention to your gross margin, it's also really important that you're meeting this kind of ideal price point that customers think about. Another key kind of deciding factor was in how to communicate what we're doing. And we've had a lot of evolutions around that in our business. And we've really had to figure it out and be nimble and flexible and change. When we first started out, I think we were saying gourmet beans. And then we moved to various other taglines. We tried out rethought beans for a long time, but that didn't really resonate with customers. Right now we just call ourselves Better Bean, and we say healthy bean, easy bean, tasty bean as our value propositions. And we're still evolving and continuing to understand how to communicate. And one part of that and really digging down deep into what we're doing, understanding why we've created this product and who our market is we did a rebrand. And so really from moving from the farmers markets to national distribution, the critical point was a rebrand and bringing out this wonderful, beautiful, colorful packaging. We used to be in these round deli tubs like everybody else with labels that all looked the same. They were all the same color, and they were kind of a white with yellow. And you couldn't find them on the shelf. We couldn't find them. We, who knew our products so well, couldn't find them on the shelf. So now we have a rainbow of colors. They're jewel tones, and they're in square tubs. We're looking for differentiation in all chances and all moments with our product, where it is in the store, how it's presented, and then the ingredients and the flavor profile. And that's what people want. So, yeah.
You've done your homework for sure, and you've really got it going on. How have you grown so quickly from a concept to weekly staple in thousands of homes?
Definitely. Well, again, as I expressed above, we're meeting an unmet need. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in grocery stores that say, oh, I stopped eating beans because the canned beans have BPA that leaches into them. That's bisphosphonyl A. It's an endocrine disruptor. Or older people said, I had to stop eating beans because they're hard to digest and my system won't take them anymore. We make our beans easier to digest. Not only is the fresh format great for that, but we finish them with apple cider vinegar, and it breaks down the indigestible starches in beans. But moreover, people want quick, healthy, easy foods. But that's not how, you know, you can meet an unmet need, but if you're not speaking to something higher, you're not going to grow as quickly as we did. So we really worked from our passion for beans. We're doing this for so much more than just, you know, profit at the end of the day. We really believe in the bean. We are so excited about it, and we really want people to rediscover beans and honor the bean and its rich cultural history, but also all the health benefits. I call it the most satiating superfood, because not only is it extremely high, are they extremely high in antioxidants and vitamins and minerals, great source of protein, but they're really rich in fiber as well, which keeps you going all day long. You digest the beans very, very slowly. And we've also built our company through human connection. So we share our passion with people face to face. We've done a ton of event marketing. So we're out at these veg fests. We're out at the farmers markets, growing our local community connection. And I have actually moved from Oregon down to California, the Bay Area, to do demos. A lot of companies will think, so sampling is very important. That's what the demo is, and sampling in grocery stores. And a lot of people pay other companies to do it, or maybe hire a rep to do it. But I, as one of the co-founders, is actually out there in the grocery store making these one-on-one connections. And it's huge. People want to know who is behind their food. They want to have that trust. And so when they talk to me, they can ask any question about our product. You know, where are the red beans grown? What is your formulation? Do you do any added sugars? I can answer any question they might have, but also they see my smile and they feel like they're a part of something bigger than just buying another product on the shelf. So that's really how we've grown so quickly. People are really believe in us as a, you know, a family and as part of our community.
Certainly making the difference without a question. Today we are with Penna Kohlberg, known as the Bean Queen. Along with her father, she has built the Better Bean Company up from farmers markets to national distribution here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Hannah, how did you integrate sustainability into your business model?
Well, great question. It's actually a little bit of a trick question because it was there. Sustainability was there from the ground floor and needed to be, and is basically critical to who our business, who we are as a business, and integral to our product. You cannot separate sustainability from our beans. And this is, you know, the really kind of larger understanding of sustainability. We are a stakeholder-based business, and so we care about our workers, our suppliers, our investors, our the stores that sell our product, the people who distribute our product, and then the end consumer. And we're thinking about not only, you know, recycling and waste reduction along that line, but how we can create ongoing jobs and strengthen our community. We're also very focused on health, and that's an aspect of sustainability as well. If people are going to have, you know, good, healthy, sustainable lives, they need to have food that fuels that. And so our beans, I mean, one key factor in terms of sustainability is our sourcing decisions. We source primarily from the Northwest. Our red beans are grown in Idaho. Our black beans are grown in Washington State. Our corn, which is non-GMO verified, is grown in Oregon. The onions, the safflower oil are also grown in Oregon. Our peppers come from one supplier in Northern California and are grown organically. And we really bake those values into our product. And so that's what people are buying when they pick it up. They're buying family values. They're buying healthy values. They're buying real food. And so, you know, as we grow, we can really take these to other levels and have extensive sustainability plans and put in solar panels and well, we already try and do some carpooling programs, but, you know, these other examples of where you can find sustainability. But if you don't start with it from the ground floor, it's actually much harder to integrate because it's not part of the value system that's there. Everyone we hire has sustainability at their core. And when we look to who we bring on either as distributors or, you know, stores that we're working with, they also share our values. And so it's really across the business model. And I just want to mention part of this and really baking this into our business is we just got a Benefit Corporation or B Corp certified. And so we're really excited about that status and really excited to be a part of that growing movement of companies.
And finally, any tips on financing a business?
Yes, definitely. Well, I think about like 40,000 new brands are introduced every year and only a fraction of those survive. And it's mostly they don't survive because they're undercapitalized. But I mean, it was one of these realities I had no idea about before we started the business. I'm a really, you know, values-based person. I'm really optimistic, but there are these harsh realities of business. And, you know, while you're thinking about all these sustainability things, you also have to think about the sustainability of your business, which is cash flow. And you can't make an impact at all if you're not in business anymore, as my dad always likes to remind me. And so, I mean, if you really want to build a national brand, and there's other ways that you can build a business. You can build a hobby business just for your local market. That's really wonderful. You can build a regional brand that's very successful, and you can build it slowly over time and not have the same capital needs. But a national brand is a little bit of a different animal. And so you either need to raise a lot of capital, have an incredibly high gross margin that funds it, and maybe really inexpensive marketing. We do have kind of an extra marketing cost just because this is a new concept and our beans don't taste like beans people have had before. And so they really need to have that opportunity to taste them. And that sampling program is very expensive. Or have other profitable side businesses that support your retail brand, either a restaurant, cafe, or food service. Outside of that, I mean, and the strategy we've mostly pursued is raising money. And again, we choose with people we work with in raising capital from them and, you know, making the investments. At first, it was our family who share our values. And then outside of that was friends. And then beyond that, we really have ensured that we are working with investors who share our value of being a benefit corporation, of the triple bottom line or the quadruple bottom line. And so we've worked with organizations like Slow Money that are really focused on financing the future of food. And other organizations or investors that call themselves impact investors. But there's a lot of other ways to finance your business, and you just need to think about what works for you and your needs. And so you can get, you know, personal loans, business loans, credit cards, again, the familial investment. Then there's venture capital, and there's a lot of venture capital out there. And you could, you know, grow very quickly if you wanted to, but there tends to be a cost with that. What values are you going to lose? Who might you end up selling to? Does that company share your values? And then there's some really cool stuff that's been popping up that's more around community capital and community investment. One that's very well known, I'm pretty sure, is the kind of crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, like Kickstarter. And that model actually is pretty much just donation-based. You give people back little prizes. And so it's a great way of raising money if you have a very specific need, like a new piece of machinery, or you want to roll out a new line of packaging, and you don't need that much money, but you need, you know, a good chunk of change. And then another version of this, or another community capital investment alternative, is direct public offering, or DPO, and this is very newly getting into place. There's new legislation that was just passed, and basically this is offering shares to the public, and they don't need to be accredited investors at all. And you have to do this just state by state. So you do it in your state, and there's about like a year that in which you can raise money. But so similar to crowdfunding, you're soliciting your neighbors, your customers, your friends. But here, instead of giving them little prizes and it's a donation, it's they're actually buying into your company and becoming a part of it through ownership, through shares. And that's, I think, very exciting. And there's a lot building right there around direct public offerings. And so really, you know, again, it's just asking yourself those hard questions and figuring out what works for you.
Well, this has been an intriguing story to hear firsthand. Certainly honored to have been able to hear it firsthand here, and appreciate all the golden nugget tips dropped from start to finish as well. How about telling our listeners before you go where they can get more information about the Better Bean Company online?
Definitely. Our website is www.betterbeanco.com, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/betterbean. Our Twitter handle and our Instagram are betterbeanco or @betterbeanco, and then we're on Google+ and all those other channels. And I just want to leave you with a little quote that's from my father, because out of all of this, the team is so important. So he always tells us, you know, this is kind of his rallying cry, the strength of the dog is in the pack.
You gotta love it. Good stuff. We've been speaking with Hannah Kohlberg, known as the Bean Queen. Along with her father, she has built the Better Bean Company up from farmers markets to national distribution. Better Bean makes fresh, ready-to-eat beans that are sold refrigerated in a format similar to fresh hummus. And the website of reference, once again, for your connection is betterbeanco.com. Hannah, thanks so much for joining us here on Enterprise Radio, and continued success to you and the company and what you're doing.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Eric. Have a great day.
And you too, and you're more than welcome. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.